You know, sometimes, and I know that you know this to be true, sometimes we know what the Bible says about an issue, but we choose instead to follow worldly advice. Now we know what the Bible says. We know. But we find ourselves following worldly advice. We make excuses as to why a particular principle does not apply to us. In doing so, believers imply, perhaps unconscientiously, that we know better than God. Now, I know no one in this building knows that they know better than God. None of us do. But kind of subconscious in our thinking, we think we might. But we really know better, don't we? Take, for instance, our finances. The Bible tells us that God owns all the wealth in the world. Is that true? The Bible literally tells us that God owns all the wealth in the world. He instructs us then to give, now listen closely, 10% of our income back to Him. Yet, don't we find out that many folks have a problem with that issue? And many times Christians ignore that command to tithe. Or they rely on ungodly advice that discourages generous giving. However, no investment strategy in your life can compare to God's master financial plan. I want to say it one more time. I need a lot of amens right there because folks listening on the radio that need to hear that you really believe this. I really believe this with all of my heart, that there is no investment strategy that can compare to God's master plan. None at all. If you and I would tithe faithfully, the Father would generously provide for us. If all of us would tithe faithfully, we would never have a need in the church that couldn't be met by God's people. If everybody did what everybody was supposed to do. Let's look at some scriptural principles tonight. Roman numeral 1, God's master financial plan. Number 1, God's plan differs from the world's. Now we know that to be true. Secular wisdom says to accumulate as much as you possibly can accumulate. Accumulate as much wealth as possible. The reasons for doing so are very selfish, of course, such as fulfilling our desires and trying to guarantee financial security. But like a pond has a problem. A pond that has no outlet, as a result, grows stagnant and slimy. And that's the approach, I think, in our lives. If we make our lives like a pond rather than like a channel for blessings, we'll become stagnant and slimy in our Christian living and in our relationships with others. I honestly think an individual who doesn't manage resources God's way inevitably wastes those resources. If we don't manage God's resources that He gives us in God's way, we find ourselves wasting our resources. Some people will say to me, I have too many bills. I just don't have enough money. But I don't give to God because I can't. I don't have enough money. I'll ask the question, and I'll go over this in this message tonight. Well, what do you do first? Who do you give to first? According to the Scripture, we're to give God first. Not J.C. Penney's. Not the Old Fort Bank. Right, Brother Frank? The banker just pled the fifth. An individual who doesn't manage his resources God's way inevitably wastes those resources. A selfish attitude regarding finances diminishes a person's ability and quality of life, and often causes, I think, friction within the family. So Roman numeral 1 is God's plan differs from the world's plan of how we spend our money and how we manage our money. Number 2, the Lord desires us to be givers. This is Roman numeral number 2. The Lord desires for us to be givers. Now, we shouldn't view ourselves as reservoirs. We should not be stockpiling our monies for our selfish desires. Instead, we need to be channels for blessings, willing to share our blessings with others. I tell you what, this is a fabulous church for that. We have a lot of people in this church who have learned that secret, and they're constantly sharing their monies and their resources with everybody. We have special givers giving to special needs that no one else actually knows about. School, or even Gino Sharp, gets a special love offering from time to time from our own people in this auditorium. Even though we give him money every single month, once in a while, he gives a special offering from some of our folks here. And we thank God for that. The Christian school has so many givers. They don't even have a child in the school, but they donate and give to the things of the Lord. Thank God for folks who've learned the secret about giving. And yet there are still some folks who need to be taught, because they are reservoirs. They don't give hardly anything. They just tip God, but don't give Him anything. And then it comes to, like, this week coming, we have a share-a-thon where we're going to support our Christian radio station. And everybody here knows how a blessing that radio station is, not just for us, but for folks all across the country and all across the world. What a blessing Christian radio station is. And everybody in the house, and everybody on our membership roster, and everybody listening to me tonight ought to be giving this week to our radio station to keep it going. We should be channels for blessings, willing to share with others in God's plan. Believers receive in order to give. That silent message I heard at pastor's study, pastor's school years ago has stuck with me and has always been with me. Brother Hiles said, here's a perfect illustration of how you pray and how you receive and how you give. He said, you first of all pray, and you lift your hand to pray, and you say, God, I have these needs and I have this in my life. And so God, does He give you in spoonfuls or bucketfuls? Well, He gives us in bucketfuls so often. And so we receive from God. And if all we do is receive and keep it here, before long we stop receiving. But if we could just get this, and here's what Brother Hiles did. He said, fellas, look at me, everybody. He said, I'm not going to say another word. Just watch. Quiet, silent message, but it made sense. I'm receiving from God. I receive to myself. But instead of keeping it to myself, I say, "Woo! God has blessed me. I think I'll give it to somebody else." And then all of a sudden, God gives you again. And you receive again, and you give again. Oh, how wonderful it is to be a channel for God's blessings. You and I can use some of the money for our own personal needs. We certainly can. God wants us to. But we should also donate to our churches, to our mission work, to our radio station around the world, and to those who are hurting financially. Generous people are always happier people. Only the generous people are smiling. No, I'm kidding. But seriously, it's the truth. Generous people are happier people. They're more peaceful, they're more content, they're more secure in what they're doing. So Roman numeral 1 is simply this: God's plan differs from the world. Number 2, the Lord desires to be us to be givers. Going to 5 is all we're going to go to tonight. We're on number 3 already. Man, we're moving right along. Especially when we talk about finances, it gets a little tough. Number 3, follow me please. How does the principle of giving and receiving apply to us? Go with me to the book of Luke chapter 6, verse number 38. How does the principle of giving and receiving apply to us? What's it say? What's it say in the Bible? This is God's word. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Hey, that's the secret of that silent little sermon. I get from God, I give to others. And guess what? God gives back to me. Where did that come from? It came from that verse of Scripture in Luke chapter 6. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Boy, don't you like that running over stuff? Come on, don't you like that running over stuff? Come on, amen. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give into your bosom for the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. We have some wonderful people in this church who are just fabulous givers. I'm telling you, they are. And they give to everything. And they help everybody. And they're so happy because they're able to do that. And God blesses them again and again and again. But then there's some others who've just never learned. And they're always trying to keep everything for themselves and trying to better themselves. And they'll never be better. You've got to learn to give. Secondly, choose to view your bank account as a channel rather than a reservoir. Then watch the Father abundantly supply all your needs. It's unbelievable. I'm going to tell you a story. And these folks out in Arizona may hear it, but that's okay. We wanted to go out to Arizona, and I wanted to be a blessing to Mark and Crystal Hall. Crystal has not been feeling well. She's been very, very sick. She had a number of inches or feet taken from her intestines, and her stomach's all messed. And she just lost lots of weight. Pray for Crystal Hall. She's a fine young lady, loves the Lord, teaching Sunday school class every Sunday out there, but is not well at all. So we go out there, Ronnie and Bill and myself, and we're there to play golf and there to encourage them and fellowship with them. And Crystal's making supper for us every evening. She's making breakfast every morning. She won't have it. We can't do anything. We can't pay her for anything. She won't have it. She said, Pastor, put your money away. It's not good in Arizona. It doesn't work here in Arizona. Put your money away. And she said, I said, well, no, we're going to help you. No, you're not helping me. So one time I bought them a meal before they realized I bought it. I bought it. I said, I told you I was going to pay for it tonight. She said, that'll be the last one you pay for. Anyway, it was such a blessing to be out there. And so then the preacher asked me if I would preach out there Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning church, and Sunday night church. And I said, oh, I'd love to. I'd love to do that. And I'm thinking I'm just going to preach and that's it. They take an offering from me. I get $600. It paid for my whole flight. It paid for all my golf game. It paid for everything. So I come back and gave some money to the Christian school. Because when you do this, and then you do this, God does this again. You know, here's a problem with some of us. We do this, get this, go, whoo. And then God can never do this again. Come on, amen. So but when we do this, God bless us. We take this and say, whoo, hey, I got something. So here, let's go over here and give them something. And then God has the ability to do it one more time. But we're so hard-headed, aren't we? We just can't seem to learn. I bought the fellows the big steak dinner. I said, guys, I can't believe it. Gave me such a big offering. Man, I can't hardly believe it. I said, Brother Brown, I want you and Ronnie to pick out the steakhouse. I'm buying. I got blessed. I'm going to bless you. Man, they got the big steaks, you know. They took me at their word, at my word. I mean, they got those big, expensive steaks. Where did we go, Mr. Brown? Texas Roadhouse? Texas Roadhouse. Man, they chowed down. But I was blessed because I was able to bless them. Come on, amen. You understand what I'm saying? What a blessing God is to our lives. Now, number four. What are the elements of God's financial plan? Go to Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Giving one-tenth of our income to the Lord is an integral part of biblical stewardship. Can everybody learn this tonight? This is so important. Giving one-tenth of our income to the Lord is an integral part of biblical stewardship. The prophet Malachi wrote, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now. Look at that word, prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Don't you want to have a blessing that you don't have room to receive it? Wow, that's got to be a pretty good sized blessing because I got a lot of room. But God said, I'm going to give you a blessing that you don't have room to receive it. Man, if we could just open up our heart and do what God wants us to do. Sheriff, I'm right around the corner. Starts tomorrow morning. It's challenging us. What are we going to give to God? Let's give a big offering this year. Let's give a way above and beyond what we ever thought we could. Let's see what God will do with us. I'm telling you, it's for a good cause. The word of God's going to get out. It's going to be heard. Thank the Lord for it. Okay, let's talk about the amount. In my notes, I didn't put you this down on your notes. What are the elements? But here's one of the elements, the amount. If you are obedient to give 10%, that's the amount. I believe the remainder that you have will stretch further than if you kept the whole amount. Do you believe that works like that? Do you believe if I gave 10%, you say, well, preacher, if I make $400, I give 10%, it's 40 bucks, right? That's exactly right. You give that to God. And that will make that $360 go a lot further than the $400 you had at the first. Now, you'll find that to be true. I'm just telling you. How many of you saints of God have found that to be true? Let everybody see your hand. You found that to be true. It's wonderful, isn't it? How God does that sort of thing. It is. Number two, the portion. I'm talking about the amount and I'm talking about the portion. Don't wait until you have paid all your bills before you tithe. You'll never be a tither if you wait till you pay all your bills. I have told my people over and over again that I have taught about tithes and offerings that you can't do that. People say to me all the time, well, should I pay my house payment, my car payment, all that stuff first and then pay my tithes? No, sir. You ought to pay tithes first. That's exactly right. Now go with me to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. God's people are to give, notice, the first and the best of what we have. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Do you see that verse? Honor the Lord with all thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Verse number 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. The portion. This is one idea in which the Lord encourages us to test him. Prove me now, he says. Those who tithe see God's miraculous provision for their needs. The place. Where do I send this stuff? Where do I put this money? In the storehouse. The place is the storehouse. Mentioned in Malachi chapter 3, I believe, is a church house. Believers should give to the church. Number four, the time. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, generosity is mentioned in both the Old and New Testaments. Now concerning the collection for the saints, I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. We should start with 10%, but not stop there. We ought to start with 10%, but don't stop there. The early church not only tithed, they also sold their possessions, and they donated the proceeds to the church. Read the story yourself. We should be giving of our tithe, but then we have missions. That's above the tithe. And then we have radio. That's above the tithe. Christian school, that's above the tithe. That's how we give to God. And it's a blessing, and God will not let you starve. And God will see that everything's taken care of in your family. I promise you it works. It works. What's the purpose? What's the purpose of all this, preacher? There's two things I want to tell you tonight. What's the purpose of tithing? To meet the needs in the church. That's number one. To meet the needs in the church. The priests needed money to keep the temple repaired, to purchase supplies, and to provide for their families. Christians today give to the local church for the same exact reasons. Keep the church house lights on, keep them paid, keep it updated, keep it remodeled, keep it looking good, pay the preachers. That's what we have to have the tithe money for. God set it up this way. What's the second purpose? To demonstrate faithfulness. When you and I trust God in this area, He provides all of our needs. Our faith increases and we grow closer to Him. The Lord touches us and He teaches us about His trustworthiness through our tithing. My daddy taught me to tithe when I was 13 years of age. I started milking cows when I was 8, 9, 10 years old. And at 8, 9, 10 years old, I had to start right away tithing to God. And my dad sent me down at age 13 when I finally trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, my personal Savior, what it meant to pay tithe and how he wanted to see that tithe in that offering plate every single week. And by the way, he was a treasurer of the church. And everybody had to have their name or a number. Dad gave me a number. And he said, that number better always be in there, son. He taught me early on how to do that. There are some people in our church who's taught their children exactly the way God wants them to be taught. And I'm telling you, I am so pleased and proud of many of our family members because all their children tithe. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And then we have some little guys who are being taught by moms and dads to tithe and give to God. I see sometimes coming through the offering plate a little name scribbled on a little piece of paper or on the tithe envelope, and this is their tithe money, and they stick it in there and they give it to the offering. I think that's wonderful. You're teaching your kids how to give to God. That's fabulous. And everybody ought to be taught how to give to God. If we as Christians don't give to God, who's going to support the kingdom of God? We've got to support the kingdom. We have to. The results? Prosperity. What are the results? Prosperity. Malachi chapter 3:10. Abundant blessings result from giving that tenth to the Lord. Look what it says in Malachi chapter 3 verse 10. Bring me all the tithe in the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, for if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Protection. Malachi chapter 3, verse 11. When God is your financial manager, I believe God supplies your needs, and He guards your supply. As you give the Father generously, He provides all your needs. Malachi chapter 3, verse 11. I will rebuke, listen to me, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. I think what God does is He guards your supply. He won't let you and your supply wither. He supports you. Now look at Luke chapter 6, verse 38 one more time. Give it and shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. That's a powerful verse, isn't it? He guards your supply. So prosperity, protection, number three, plenty. If money is tight, don't try to figure out how you can afford to give to God. Your budget may not always work out on paper, but you will experience His provision if you are just obedient. My dad taught me something very important as a kid growing up at church, and that was, don't look at how much money you have, just give God what's His. And whatever is left is fine. And you'll make it with whatever is left. And that has always worked for me. But what about the next idea? Personal witness. Following God's master financial plan will bring you contentment, joy, peace. Go to Malachi chapter 3, look at verse number 12, please. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 12. Following God's master financial plan will bring you contentment, joy, and peace. The changes in your life will provide a wonderful opportunity for you to testify about the blessings of obeying biblical principles. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Folks will look at you and see that you have blessings of God because you give to Almighty God. Are you convinced tonight that tithing is right to do? That giving to God is right to do? That giving an offering is right to do? That supporting the radio station is right to do? God has a master plan. What about the attitude? Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. Now notice what it says, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now I've always said this, that God will take money from any grump too. But He loves a cheerful giver. Giving to God out of a heart that loves, because I'm doing something for God. I'm going to bless the kingdom of God. It's a wonderful thing to be able to give to God. If somebody had a testimony real quick, I'd love to hear it about giving to God. Right here in the middle of this message, I wonder if there's anybody who would say, preacher, it has certainly worked for me. Now, if Earl Shaver was here, he'd be the first one to want to talk. Earl Shaver is a tither, a giver to Almighty God. He really is. Does anybody have a unique testimony about how God did something? Melody, come on up. Frank, want to get this mic to her, please? Amen. Just real quickly, And then give it to Ron. We'll talk to Ron just real quick. All right, this is Melanie Wiesner. Melanie, go ahead.
I've taught in Christian school ministries for several years, and one of the schools I was at, I was single, and my budget was very small. And my mom was actually helping me do my budget. And, of course, they had taught me to give to missions and tithing from a little girl. And she looked at my missions, and she's like, Melanie. And you could see the mom in her and the Christian in her fighting back and forth. The mom was saying, you need to look at what you're giving, and you're not going to make it. You need to hold back a little bit. And the Christian in her was like, well, just give. And she's like, you have to do what God wants you to do. Well, unbeknownst to us, that year I got an extra $1,000 raise, and it covered my missions giving. And it was going to be tight, but that $1,000 just helped get me through that year.
Amen.
And it was a testimony to God and what he did. And
Amen.
And then later I had the opportunity to actually purchase a home. And looking back, it's like, I don't know. It's what you said this morning. You can't explain it. There was no really reason why I should have been able to do that, but God just opened the doors and circumstances. So just trust God.
Amen.
He'll provide.
Amen. Thank you. Brother Ron, right back there. Ron, stand, please.
In 1996, I had to leave a job that I had been at for 16 years. I was a labor foreman and making good money at that time. And I had been in the church for about 3 or 4 years. And unfortunately, I had a failing marriage during all that 16 years of period of time. I left that job with the intent of trying to save a marriage being at home. And during that time, I decided I needed to be tithing. I went from an $18 an hour job in 96 to an $8 an hour job and trying to support my family and my children, and began to tithe on that. And unfortunately, paying child support also out of all that. And God provided in such a way that within a 9-month period of time, I went from 850 to about 12, gained benefits, hospitalization and all, which I did not have, and gained housing, where I went to a house that was supported with help for $175 a month.
Very nice.
For over a year. And he just put me back on my feet. The Lord just provided in such a wonderful way and taught me the principle of giving.
Amen.
And from there on, I've learned to be faithful with it.
Amen. Just like this, everybody. Oh, I pray that God give me. All of a sudden, God does. But instead of keeping it here, we go like this. And that opens up the windows of heaven. That God can give you more. And as you get more, what do? You give more away. And God just keeps using you as a channel. Not a reservoir, not a pond, but a channel that you can be blessed continually because of your giving to God. The attitude is to be a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Believers should be not grudgingly or not resentful, but willingly giving. Don't fall into the trap of hoarding money, thinking that more of it will buy you happiness. More money does not buy happiness. Hey, if more money bought happiness, all those movie stars and all those basketball players that make multi-millions ought to be happy. And they're all miserable. They got all kind of money. It doesn't make for happiness. Many of them do not even experience fulfilling relationships, genuine peace, or lasting joy. But we must also look at the results. Prosperity, protection, plenty, personal witness, the attitudes. What about the penalty? We must look at that. You cannot violate the Lord's commands without experiencing the consequences. When the Jews failed to give 1/10 back to God, God put a curse on them. Go back to Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. And let's look at those verses, because right away it talks about, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, he said. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And God said, in tithes and offerings. Verse 9, here it is. Here's the penalty. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Can I ask you a question? Do you think the great God of the universe, does He have any need for our money? What does He want us to do? Simply be obedient to what His Word has taught. And if we are, and we teach that to our young people, God will bless our homes. He'll meet our needs. He'll provide in areas that we never have thought about being provided for. Now, what does a refusal to tithe indicate? Roman numeral number 5, my last point. What is it? What does a refusal to tithe indicate? 4 things. They sound pretty harsh. Rebellion is the first word. The Father's will is for us to return to Him 1/10 of what He gives us. When we resist tithing, we are keeping ourselves for ourselves, that 10% or whatever, what God says belongs to Him. If we will not give what God said He wants, that's rebellion. Number 2, it's unbelief. Go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. The Lord promises to provide for our needs if you and I would just simply give. A refusal to tithe indicates a lack of trust in God's promises to supply our needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So what does Philippians 4:19 say? But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Folks, if you have not learned the secret yet of tithing, you need to learn that secret. It's really not a secret. It's taught in the Word of God. So rebellion is a terrible word. Unbelief is a terrible word. What about covetousness? That's the third word I thought about. When someone fails to obey this command, greed is often the motivator. I want it for me. And the last word sounds really bad. It's stealing. Our Maker grants us the strength, intelligence, and ability to earn and invest money. According to Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, a failure to tithe is equivalent to robbing God. And if you really put it down to where we can really taste it, robbing God means I'm stealing. Oh, that sounds so terrible, doesn't it? Sounds so horrible. Preacher, it sounds awful. You mean I'm in rebellion? I'm in unbelief? I'm in covetousness? I'm in stealing? Listen, if you would just learn the secret of doing what God said, God would bless you immensely. Now, God's going to support His kingdom with somebody. I'll guarantee it. He'd like to do it with every one of you. Where are you at tonight? Here's my conclusion. The biblical principle of tithing makes no sense to the world. Not at all. Many financial advisors, in fact, will tell you, that I deal with some of those fellows from time to time, they'll tell you that you can't afford to give 10% away. I have called for some of my people who had financial difficulties, and I've called these big firms. And I've talked to the head honchos of the big firms. And I said, I'm a financial advisor for Brother So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so. And I'm trying to get their finances together. We are going to pay you, but I'd like to incorporate everything else in one loan and give you so much money a month, because these people do go to church and they do attend my church. And I am a financial counselor and they do give to God. And they hold it. And I said, what do you mean they give to God? I said, well, I teach them they ought to give to God. Tithe. He said, we can't work anything out if you're going to have them tithe your church. That tithe is like 10%, right? I said, yes, sir. Well, we're not asking for 10%. We'll take 5%. I said, how about if I give you 3%? I'm trying to work it out for these people. Help me out here. And some of them finally said, okay, all right, as long as I have your word that you're going to pay me every month. I said, I personally will pay you every month through that checking account. I have taken two or three of our people's monies, and their check account made me power of attorney. I wrote all their checks, wrote all their bills, and got them out of debt. And those companies worked with me. But some of them didn't like to work if they were going to give to the church. I said, but we teach our people that they must give to God, and God will bless them. Now, folks, you know that to be true. And God has blessed those people. Now, but the world says you can't give away 10%. Tithing is a controversial subject even in the local church. Because so many people say, well, that's Old Testament stuff, not New Testament. No, if you actually understand and read the New Testament, you should probably give him 15 to 20% to God, not 10%. Tithing is taught all the way through the book, all through the Word of God. But don't let arguments stop you from contributing to the Lord's work. The truth is, no financial plan is better than the one outlined in the Scripture. There's no financial plan any better than what's outlined right here. We give cheerfully, joyously, and generously, and consistently. The Father blesses us with prosperity, with plenty, with protection, with powerful personal witness. So put Malachi 3:10 into practice. Prove God. Test God. See if He'll not pour out a blessing upon you. I'm telling you, He will. We're getting ready for Share-a-thon. It's just around the corner. We all need to call early and give a donation to the Christian radio station for another year. It's our station. It's our gospel message that's going out. We need to support that. Let's stand together, shall we? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.